Howdy, howdy, folks, and welcome to Moose Podcast number 382. The thought process, camera settings. Can you believe the first month has gone flying by that quickly? I know I can't. Holy moly. Jeez. Life. Wow. Hopefully I'm taking lots of pictures and you are too, that record all our memories. That's what this whole photography thing is all about. And I really appreciate you taking some of your time to stop on by to the podcast. I also really appreciate the kind words you send out, the questions you bring to the table. And of course, your continuing support, not only of myself, but my good friends at Bedford Camera, bedfords.com. Hey, you guys have been very busy, and a number of you have made a real point, because I've heard about it, of thanking Bedfords for sponsoring the Moose Podcast. I am very grateful for that, and so are they. Because, you know, these folks, they work really hard. It is, quote-unquote, the quiet time of the year, which, you know, I'm trying to change. Keep them busy. Keep them honest. You know, I don't know about you, but photographers, when they have idle hands, they get into mischief. So those folks at Bedfords, they are photographers. They are really have some great expertise in all things photography. They have the inventory to help you with your questions and your problems. They have the prices, they have the service, and they have the Moose discount you see when you check out. So my good friends at bedfords.com, thank you so much for sponsoring the Moose Podcast, and thank all of you very kind and I think just marvelous listeners for sponsoring both of us. So I'm going to get right into this week's episode. Oh yeah, before I do it, God, I'm slipping. I keep forgetting to look at my notes slash outline. Once again, this is being recorded by the Adobe Podcast Beta. And the transcript will be there on the blog post for the podcast, which you can also find in the archive, all on the website, moosepeterson.com. Okay, now I'm going to get back into this episode. The thought process, camera settings. I had a lot of folks this week asking if I was going to be talking about this. And yeah, it is. This is probably going to be the last in the series of the thought process, because it kind of wraps it up. When it comes to camera settings, and I have talked about these many times over the years, decades, and for myself, I'm not going to say they're cut and dry or boilerplate, but for my particular style of photography, and right off the bat, that just opens up a whole Pandora's box. But for my style of photography, I've kind of got them set in place and they've worked for me. And that's the challenge. That's where I want you to get in your photography, is find the settings that work for you, that allow you and your photography to grow. Now, part of this process for camera settings really has to come down to two things: craftsmanship and how much pain you are willing to endure. Neither one of those are really enticing. Neither one of those make you go, oh, yes, me, sign me up. But before I get further into this, you got to understand that both of those things, that craftsmanship, pain you're going to endure, are really part of my kit, part of the bag of confidence. So what does that mean? Well, let me start with one that comes in all the time, ISO. Do I raise ISO? The answer is yes, with a caveat, really reluctantly, as minimal as I possibly can. And then the answer to why comes back to that first part, that craftsmanship. And it's really hard to understand, and I understand that all too well. But I start off with ASA 80. I have 64 Kodachrome, we rated it to 80. So when I'm shooting at ISO 100, in my mind, I'm kind of already raised the ISO. And I've mentioned this many times before, when it gets to the point where the shutter speed is too slow for whatever is happening, and we'll talk about that in a second, I've always taken it as a sign from God to stop and smell the roses and move forward. Now, the one problem with that, and there definitely is a problem with that philosophy, is when you look at photographs you might see on the web, you're going to say, wow, if I follow Moose's advice, I don't get that shot. If Moose follows his own advice, he doesn't get that shot. So then A, is the shot that important? And B, is craftsmanship not as important as that shot? And that's probably the biggest part of camera settings you have to think about. Let's take, for example, photographs of birds in flight when their wings are fully open, and you can see every primary, secondary, all the covert feathers, all of them as their wings are spread in flight. You know that in that scenario, the ISO was cranked up there. And what do I mean by cranked up there? 6400 or higher. And they're using either AI, noise reduction in Adobe Camera Raw, Lightroom, or something else to deal with the noise in those scenarios. Yeah, most of those photographs are taken in bright sunlight, so you've got that going for you, but you crank your ISO in those scenarios, especially with a good background, you're going to see noise unless you deal with it in post. So that is the yin and yang of this. If you want that shot and you want the craftsmanship, you have to realize there are going to be compromises and sacrifices. And that truly is probably the underlying statement to everything about the thought process behind camera settings. Do I raise my ISOs? Of course I do. There are times where, yeah, and in this particular day and age, where I want to get the shot and put it in front of you or the photo buyer, and the person that is also putting their shot in front of that photo buyer, if they're going to those means, then there's a possibility I have to at least at best meet their final results. I might not have to use their same means, but I have to at least meet their results. And when it comes to birds, perching birds, there are times where there's nothing better, but there's times when action shots, yeah, there's nothing better. So when you're out there shooting and you're thinking, you know, your thought process going, what should I do for ISO? You got to have some basic kind of precepts for that shutter speed. Now, for myself personally, and it's, you got to always remember, this is about my thought process. You have to incorporate what works for you and what doesn't. If a bird is perched and it is working on breaking open a piece of grain of seed, so its mandibles are going up and down and its tongue is rotating that seed to crack it open, that simple motion, that mandible is going up and down, the muscles go up and translate to the eyes, and the eyes have to be sharp. So in order to get sharp, the minimum shutter speed is going to be 1 over 125, 1 over 125th. That is the slowest shutter speed you can have to stop the action of those mandibles going up and down as it's eating a seed. So that gives you kind of, you could say, a foundation or a basement for shutter speed when it comes to stopping action. Now, shutter speed is going to be based on two things, aperture and sunlight. Not going to get into flash right now, but understand flash can have a much faster shutter speed and stop action where shutter speed cannot. We're going to keep it simple right now with just, keep it simple right now. We're going to keep it simple right now with just basic settings. So you have to deal with aperture and sun, quantity of light. Not necessarily quality, Because you look at some of those shots, not some, a lot of those shots where you see the wing completely open and they're in flight, it's majority of the time really harsh light that tells you something. Now that aperture, you know, if you are shooting, and we're going to take, for example, not pick on either one of these, it just makes life simple. If you have a Z600 F4TC lens versus a Z600 6.3 lens, you know right off the bat that you've lost two-thirds of a stop between those two lenses. The 6.3 is two-thirds of a stop slower. That means your shutter speed is going to be what? Two-thirds of a stop slower. So then you can, of course, crank up your ISO, those two-thirds, and then you would be equal without the 600 F4 user cranking up his ISO, but then you have to deal with the possibility of noise. And understand that most of the noise that we see is often created in post rather than in camera. But getting back to that shutter speed for stopping that bird that's chewing on that seed, between those two lenses, the F4 and the 6.3, one is going to be able to have a little bit more craftsmanship than the other. It does not mean for a second you have to buy an F4. 6.3 is a great lens. You just have to think about the process. You could have the 600 6.3 Z lens or the Nikon Z800 6.3. Both are 6.3. Both would give you the same shutter speed, the same scenario, the same light. You have to think about what you want to stop, quote unquote, freeze, and how you want to do it. Because yes, shutter speed is one way of doing it. Flash is another way of doing it. One of my favorite ways is peak of action. To describe peak of action, it's kind of like thinking about bouncing a basketball. It bounces down, stops for a second, then it comes back up, stops for a second, then it goes back down in its travel. Those times when it stops for just a millisecond, going up and down, that's the peak of action. Birds have it, mammals have it, people have it. Even a coin that's dropped on the floor going has peak of action. If you time your shooting for peak of action, the subject's not moving. Your shutter speed is not as critical. But that requires practice. You got to think about it. Be really good on that shutter release. And when you think about photography, it really all is about practice and muscle memory. And camera settings are very much a muscle memory. And it's probably at this point I should mention that all the settings I have in my camera for all the various menus, functions, buttons, they're all on the website. Just search Moose's Camera Settings. And I bring that up for a certain reason. And that is because we're all slightly different. And if you're getting a little older and feeble like myself, you want to have things clear cut right there at your fingertips so you don't have to really memorize any of the process. My settings are set that way. So when I hit the I, as in index button on the back of the camera, the things that I need most often are right there, and I don't have to think about them. I can just go I, and then it goes right off the bat. Camera settings, picture control, and white balance. Those are the first two things on that button, on that list, because those are things that often change a lot, and those come under camera settings. Now, next one is going to be focus mode. Now, those three settings. Let's start with picture control. Picture control is a fancy name for a tone curve. Tone curve is just another name for a bell curve, which is the analog way in which film recorded information. Now we have a tone curve. And it comes back to that craftsmanship thing again. Majority of the time, I'm in the standard mode. And you go to, again, my camera settings page, you can see how I set that up. And I've created a preset in Adobe Camera Raw. So every time I open that file, those numbers are instantly honored and bring up, and I see a preview based on exactly what it shot. It's not changing anything. It's just carrying through the whole process those settings that I think deliver the best image, image versus exposure and color, using the right tone curve. Now, camera settings, going through that more when it comes to, you know, the thought process. White balance is very important to me. And white balance is really, you know, it's kind of, it's a challenge. I mean, let's say, for example, auto white balance. Why is it challenged by sunrise and sunsets? You've probably heard or seen me how I manually set in white balance of, you know, 6 or 9,000 Kelvin, going cloudy or manually putting in maybe 10,000, 11,000. Well, why do cameras not, you know, instantly say, hey, it's a sunrise or sunset, it's red. Why do they not bring us that correct white balance? Why do we need to set it in? Well, that's because the computer in the camera sees all that red as a color cast. It's a red-orange color cast, and it tries to remove it. That's what it's been told to do. Because, I mean, not all light is created equal. Perhaps you have photographed something with an abundance of green in the scene. Let's say you got a bird in a shrub. And all of a sudden, you bring up that image, and you go, wow, it's kind of got a bit of a magenta cast. Well, that's because the camera sees all that green. It's kind of an artificial light artifact. And it's another form of color cast. And when it comes to dealing with green, even though the RGB are red, green, blue, the sensors and the computers don't have a deal of working with that in a white balance. So they deal with tint to try to deal with that green cast. That causes, you know, a problem that you might have to render and alleviate when you get into post with white balance. The perfect shot, every shot would have, you know, this 18% gray card in it that the camera can look at meter off of, and then it would be more often more accurate. But it's a camera setting that is very much part of the thought process, that white balance, as is exposure. And I can't emphasize enough how important you understand exposure equals emotion. I'm going to end with one of my favorite kind of, you know, little parables I like to say, you know, when it comes to exposure. You're photographing a cloudy day and there's some sun and you're photographing that. If you underexpose that scene, it's going to really look like, you know, the storm is just nasty and gnarly. You expose it at zero, it's just going to look like a storm that's possibly coming in. If you overexpose that, it's going to look like a bright, you know, cloudy day that you should go fly a kite and have fun at the park. And the only difference in the photograph is the exposure and the emotion you want to put into it. So that's basically the thought process I have to camera settings. I hope that helps. Remember, you can listen to the podcast as much as you want. Take notes. Disregard those things that don't work for you. The rest of it, make it your photography. You folks have a marvelous week. And remember to make every click your story.